I want to greet you this morning again in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Tony, for leading those songs. I guess what really stood out to me in that last song was, "Take me, I'm yours." If I can really say that, I'm not going to hold anything back anymore. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ray, your testimony that you shared this morning was the best opening that we could have for my message this morning. And I bless you for sharing that. Our Sunday school lesson spoke a lot about where I want to go this morning. We're again looking in Ephesians. We just came through Ephesians chapter 1. Now we want to go into chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Would you stand as we read Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 10? It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You may be seated. The title of my message this morning, "Made Alive." I don't think you can get a title that's any simpler than that. Made alive. If we are made alive, then there must have been something dead. I like to picture a branch laying beside a tree. It's not connected. It is dead. It is not going to bear fruit. It is totally dead. If a branch has been cut, and there's still a possibility of life there, which all of us have, they can take that branch and they can graft it into another tree, and there can be life. "And you hath He quickened." He has made us alive. Are you part of the quickened bunch this morning? Are you made alive? You're a quiet bunch. Are you made alive? Amen. We are made alive if we have committed ourselves to Him. It says, "We were dead in trespasses and sins." Let's look at sins for a minute. The sins I believe He's talking about... Let's back up a little further. When I think a wrong thought, is that immediately a wrong thing? No. We can't help but sometimes think wrong thoughts. They come to us. But we have the choice of removing that thought, allowing God to destroy that thought and to take it away from us. When I take that thought, let's think a minute about maybe a bank robbery. I'm going to rob a certain bank. That's a thought that came to me. I can take that thought and I can throw it out. Or I can take that thought and I can start mulling it around in my mind. How am I going to rob this bank? And I think of a couple others that could help me. We need a getaway car. We need to know what bank we're going to go to. And I'm starting to allow that to go to run in my mind. That's sin. One of the biggest ones that we face are sexual sins. We allow that thought to come into our mind and it starts to turn. We need to remove that as soon as we think about it. Now, what is the trespasses all about? That is when I start acting on this thought. When I start, I've put everything together. Now we're actually going to get in the car. We're going to drive to the bank. We're going to take our weapons or whatever we have, and we're going to actually put this into action. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the course of this world. We don't like to think that we fit into this at all. That we fit into the course of this world. But I'm afraid so many times we fit into this. We would rather not admit it. But where are my thoughts going throughout the day? I'm fitting into the course of this world. Maybe it has even become a way of life to me. Basically, it's living under the powers of Satan. We cannot live under the power of Satan and under the power of God at the same time. We try it, but it does not work. We are living in disobedience. We are transgressing. We're trespassing. When you see that no trespassing sign hanging on a tree, and you're hunting, and you want to hunt in that woods, it says no trespassing underneath it, it says no hunting. You didn't do wrong until you stepped behind that sign. Maybe it was something wrong when you started letting them mull in your mind. But when you step behind that sign, that is where you transgressed. Trespass is willful transgression. And you hath he quickened, or made alive. I want to keep remembering that this morning. We have been made alive. Satan comes to us and he brings us some thoughts that we think are good thoughts. He does that. And as we continue our walk, we realize that those are not good thoughts. God hates anything that works against those that He loves. Think about that for a minute. Who does He love? Everybody. Alright, let's think especially of those that are the household of faith. God hates anything that comes against us. He does not hate us. He doesn't even hate the sinner. But He hates anything that comes against what He loves, and we are loved by Him. We've heard that this morning already. Let's back up a little bit. What is the course of this world? I want to get there a little bit more. Talk about this just a bit more. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 16. And I have used this verse as somewhat of a key to worldliness. And I realize it's not just this verse, but it branches out to a bunch of different areas. But this verse says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Let's look at these three for a minute here. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for physical pleasure, wrong desires, And it's not just that. It goes deeper than that. Lust of the eyes, envy, jealousy, wanting more than what I have. The pride of life. I'm a self-made man. I did it. No, we didn't. God did it through us. Living the American dream. I had a couple guys came into the store here a while back, and I asked them, I said, how are you? And they were smiling from ear to ear. They said, living the dream. I thought, what's the dream? What is the dream? The American dream is to have everything that you want. To have it nice and easy. Ask the people in Nepal what the American dream would be. Just to have a house. Just to have food. That's their dream. I saw those pictures this morning. And I almost felt guilty. We have so much. We have so much. And I bless you for giving. Harold was saying how much that's been given already. Am I living the American dream? Am I part of the course of this world? I'm not preaching to you this morning telling you that having things is wrong. But where our desires are, that's what's wrong. When our desire is to see how much we can accumulate, how much we can collect, we end up having a desire that is turned inward, not upward. And I think we need to be very, very careful with that. Titus 3 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We've been dead in our sins. But praise the Lord, He's here to make us alive. Those of you that have these papers, it says verse 8 on there. That's wrong. If you want to write down verse 4, about halfway down that page. I want us to go to verse 4 of Ephesians 2. Before we go there, let me tell you a little, just paint a little picture to you. And this is a picture that I think I can put myself right here. And I think some of you could too. Robert was a man that attended church from a young boy up. Everything was good. They had Sunday school. They had Bible school. They did all the right things. It was a good life. As he got a little bit older, he ended up joining the youth group. Life was good. He was made president of the youth group. He gave his heart to the Lord. Everything was going for him. Life was good. As time went on, he decided, I want to go into seminary. I want to be a minister. So that's what he did. He went to seminary to learn. But after a while, he dropped out. Something just didn't click. Something just wasn't right. Robert sat down with a friend of his over coffee and they chatted and he said, something just is not right. What really matters is the question. Tell me, where is this really at? He said, I don't just want a bunch of religion. Give me what really matters. And I think that's where we're seeing ourselves today way too often. It looks good, but there's something missing. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach. Paul said, I preach to you, and again, I declare this to you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. You received this gospel, and you stood firm in it. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. And then the last phrase here, I read this over and over, and I searched and I studied, and I'm not sure if I got it yet. But the last phrase here says, unless ye believed in vain. And I had to think about the parable of the sower, where the seed was sown some on rocky soil. It looked good for a bit, but it had no depth, and it was lost. Unless ye have believed in vain. I'm not here this morning painting a picture to you that because you say you're a Christian, I say you're not. That's not so. We know where we're at with the Lord. I lived for a long time as a Christian, but there had to come a time when I had to come face to face with reality and know the life I'm living, even in the church, was not for God. I'm going to bring this a little closer to home, something I haven't shared much with people. I loved being a deacon when I was a deacon here. And I bless our deacons and our deacon assistants. I loved being a deacon. I got to help people. I got to do a whole bunch of fun stuff. And I felt pretty good about it. But after we moved, God showed me something. I was being a deacon for myself, not for the church. I was being a deacon because it made me feel good. Now, bless you all for walking with us. What are our lives resembling? What is the reflection? Are we truly being vessels that God can use us for His honor and glory? Am I being that vessel? Am I willing to let everything go? How much I could have served God, how much I could have blessed God by doing things for Him and not for myself. I guess sometimes hindsight is a lot better than what we can see out in front of us. Verse 4 again. Let's go back to that. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy. Can you feel the mercy that God offers to us? His love, His grace. He is rich in mercy. For His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins. Why? Why should He come and die for me? He didn't commit the sins that I committed. When Jesus left heaven, He came down to this earth to be a man, to live a human life. That was horrible. Can you imagine what He left in heaven? And He didn't stay with that. He came down and He made Himself a servant. He served others. And He didn't stay with that. He went lower than that. He laid Himself on the cross for you and I, that we can be free. But God, He allowed His Son to come for us. What a blessing. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. There's no greater gift offered to humanity, and no gift that is so openly refused than the gift of salvation. God has offered that gift to us, for us to pick up and spend eternity with Him. We couldn't earn it. We can't do a thing to earn it. He already paid for it. But this gift is so openly refused. If you look at what's in the news today with all that's happening, with some of the rights that people are fighting for, Christianity is being pushed into the background. But I'll challenge us. If Christianity is pushed into the background, I believe it's going to start shining brighter. But it's not going to happen unless we are connected with the Father. It will not happen unless we're connected with the Father. I want us to turn to Galatians 5 and look at the fruit of the Spirit for just a minute. He says here in Ephesians 2, verse 10, he says, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What are these good works? I want us to look at the fruit of the Spirit this morning and just take inventory of our hearts this morning. Where are we at when we look at the fruit of the Spirit? These are fruits that the believer is supposed to be showing. I looked at this and I'm like, whoa, I think I've got some growing to do yet. The first one that he lists here is joy. I'm sorry, it's love. Let me turn to that. I have it. Well, here it is. It's love. And by the way, we have listed on this paper, again, list the fruits of the Spirit. That's singular. And I'll tell you why I say that. Unless we have the fruit of love, all these other ones mean nothing. Unless we have this fruit of love, all these other ones mean absolutely nothing. Love first, because the greatest is love, because He is love. And we are His. Our love for Him should be an intense desire to please Him and to do good to mankind. The very soul and spirit of all true religion, I believe, is love. After love, it says joy. Joy is a happy spirit that comes from realizing that we have received pardon. That we have an eternal glory that waits for us. I have a hard time seeing believers walking around with long faces. I know we go through some difficulties. After we came back here, I went through a deep struggle. I fought. And I kept giving it to the Lord. And I found that peace out in the chicken barn. We have a barn with a little chicken pen. That's our chicken barn. Struggling through my issues that I was going through, I was hauling manure out of the barn. I finally just set my fork down. I said, "Lord, I need it. I need to know where am I at." We're going to have joy that bubbles out of our lives. Others are going to see it. I love finding somebody that I do not know. Happens in the store ever so often. Somebody comes in and you can just see the love of God coming through their eyes. That's what we are to be. If we have a change inside, if we have been made alive, there's going to be a joy that comes out of our being. There's going to be a peace. That's the next one. A calm and quiet spirit. When we face issues like Ray stated, we will have peace. Oh, there's turmoil. There's a lot going on around us. But inside, we're going to have peace. Why? Because our God is peace. He offers that peace to us. Our doubts and our fears, we can give to Him, and He gives us a calm assurance. Long-suffering. Bearing with others. Being patient with them. I think there's probably one thing that frustrates me more about Christianity, or this is probably the thing that frustrates me more about Christianity than anything else. When I see impatient Christians, get your act together. I did so you can too. Let it lay. The issue you're facing has nothing. It's not a big deal. Let it lay. Just get on with life. There is a place for that. But we are to be long-suffering. We're to put our arms around our brothers and sisters and love them through it. Bearing with each other. Then there's gentleness, which is also kindness, I believe. And I believe this is a rare grace that we need to possess. Gentleness. Goodness. Doing good to the household of God. Not only making it look that way, but really being good in our heart as far as goodness goes. And then we have faith. And this faith that he's talking about, I believe, is a faithfulness. A faithfulness to God, first of all, and then a faithfulness to those that are around us. I work for John Yoder. I'm to be faithful to him in my job. I'm to be faithful to the callings that God has laid on my life. I am to be a man of integrity. We are to be filled with integrity. The next one is meekness, humility. The example I gave of Jesus coming down, being humble, being a servant. Think with me for a little bit about Lucifer. Lucifer was in heaven. How much better could he have it? But no, I'm going to go a little higher. God said no. And I believe as believers, we don't work our way higher. The closer we get to God, the more we become servants. Jesus had the best example of meekness. Temperance. Ouch, this one hurts. Self-control. Being able to control our desires, our passions. Being able to control what we eat. Last night, I was sitting in my study, going through the message again, just checking things here. I love potato chips. That's one of my weaknesses. I love potato chips. And I'm not saying it's wrong to eat potato chips. But one of my children came into the study there and says, "Dad, did you eat all the potato chips?" Mm-hmm. And you know what had happened just at that very second? I was looking at this verse, and God was telling me, "You need to be careful where you're at with your eating." My daughter walks in and says, "Did you eat all the potato chips?" God doesn't speak any clearer than that, does He? I think as Christians we need to be very careful. I'm not here to say what you can eat and what you can't eat. But how many times do I eat until I'm full, but then I go back and I get the next plate full? And then I hurt. Temperance. I believe God wants us to control our desires and our passions. And I realize we all have areas that we need to grow in. And I make room for that. But I believe we have to be very careful that our walk patterns after Scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy. I want to come back to something else here in closing. And this may sound like a reprimand to the church, and it's not. I want you to bless the youth group. We were with the youth group 2 weeks ago. I have a renewed, I'm not sure what you call it, appreciation, I guess, for our youth group. I was a youth once, and I know what they're talking about. Our youth group has a desire to walk with the Lord. But we can make it so much easier for our youth group if we speak positive into their lives, not negative. Our youth group needs us, especially those of us who hath been there. I saw some really, really good things in our youth group the other weekend. If I would have been as honest when in my youth as what they were last weekend, and we're not going to go into details, but if I would have been that honest when I was a youth their age, maybe I'd be further than what I am now. So would you bless our youth group? When you have opportunity to speak something good to them, not only them, we need it for each other. We need to bless each other. Why? Because we have been made alive. I guess this message just again really spoke into my heart. Have I been made alive? Is there really life within me? Or is it a process that I'm going through, like I talked about Robert here? Something is missing. And I'm not going to give you any answers on that this morning. It's something for you to think about. What really is missing when we sense that disconnect? I guess I'd like to close this morning with asking you to stand. I'm just going to ask you this morning to bow your heads. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. Are you really alive inside? Is there something in your heart that you know is not quite like it should be? I'm going to ask Tony just to lead us in one verse, and I'm not going to stand up here and beg this morning. But if there's something that's in your heart and you know it's not like it needs to be, maybe it's something that we read throughout the gifts of the Spirit here. Or maybe it's something in your heart that you know is just not like it needs to be with the Lord. Would you give that to the Lord this morning? Tony, lead us in one verse of song. And if you'd like to, you can come up here to the altar. Somebody will pray with you. God, you again showed your love to us by reminding us, Father, that we have been made alive. The opportunity we have, Lord, to live for you, to walk with you. And we just want to bless your name this morning. You are holy, holy, holy. There is none like you. Thank you so much for working in each one of our hearts this morning. We ask now that you would dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.